Hello and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Elaine Jontek. That having a dog makes us feel good. We are welcomed at the door when we arrive home. We have someone to love. We might do more exercise than we might otherwise. But is there a cohesive body of scientific evidence on the extent of these benefits and how they occur? Today we have an interview about an unusual research project at the Charles Perkins Centre at the University of Sydney. I'll be talking to Associate Professor Manos Stamatakis, who is leading a study of how dog ownership benefits human health. And he wants more people to join his study. Today we have Professor Manos Stamatakis with us. He's from the University of Sydney and he's the Professor of Physical Activity, Lifestyle and Health. We all know that animals can influence our general happiness and they're great companions. They make us exercise a bit and sometimes they're a bit of an antidote to loneliness. But do we really know whether they're a benefit to human health? I wonder if there's a proper body of evidence on the extent of these benefits. Perhaps Professor Stamatakis can help us because he's doing a study on that very topic. Can you tell us a bit about the study?
Our study is called the Physical and Affective Wellbeing Study of Dog Owners, which is abbreviated as PAWS. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a comprehensive study looking at the influence of the adoption of a dog on the life of an individual. In other words, what happens? How does the lifestyle and the health of someone change upon adopting a dog? So we aim to recruit 105 people for the study. We have already recruited approximately 80. What we do is we have divided the participants in three groups. Those people who will adopt imminently within a month from entry into the study, they will adopt a dog. Those people who will not adopt a dog within the 8 months period of the study. And finally, a third sample, it's a real control group, which is a group of people who don't have any interest and no intentions, not plans to adopt a dog. So for across all groups, what we do before the start of the study, we measure their physical health, we measure their physical activity, the habits like walking. We measure psychological health, loneliness, psychosocial health, interaction with other humans that may occur because of the dog, as well as physical parameters like blood glucose, fitness. So take a really, really broad view on the influence of dogs on human health. We're not only interested on the obvious things like dog walking, for example.
Do we know that people tell the truth on these interviews when you ask them how they feel and how much exercise they do? We can get a fairly accurate understanding of how much they do when they don't have a dog and then how much they do when they acquire a dog.
All questionnaires are somehow inaccurate in a sense.
Yes.
In particular, questionnaires that inquire about lifestyle habits like physical activity. It's very hard to remember. If I ask you how many minutes of walking that you did over last week, it will be quite hard to recall it. So we accept that there is a degree of error, but we do not have any reasons to believe that people will intentionally, consciously or subconsciously will give us misleading information. Of course, it is a very particular study. We have to acknowledge that it is a very particular study. To some extent, it's expected that it will attract participants who are dog lovers. Now, dog lovers may be inclined to give information that will somehow promote their beliefs about potential benefits of dog ownership, but we do the study in such a way to try to eliminate that possibility.
Has this been done before in other places?
It is a very, very unique study. We are actually the very first study that employs this specific design. As a research exercise, this is very, very challenging because we have to develop methodology from scratch. There is no other published study to pick up the methods and simply implement them in the Sydney context. We need to develop the methods from scratch. And most importantly, we need to come up with ways to recruit participants. Because it is a comprehensive study, it involves a fair amount of participant involvement. The study involves some 3 visits, for example, comprehensive range of questionnaires, some telephone interviews. And it is not always straightforward to recruit participants in research studies in general. It's becoming more and more difficult because, unfortunately, the general public gets overloaded with requests to take part in research. Market research, academic research, health research, hospital research. So recruitment is always a challenge. In the first year of the study, I should mention that we would be very grateful if any people who consider to adopt a dog, to adopt a bio dog in the next months or few months,
yes,
come forward and give us a phone call or send us an email on cpc.dognode@sydney.edu.au.
I'll just say that again. So if people out there who are thinking of getting a dog or are interested in this study and want to know a bit more, so the email address is cpc.dognode@sydney.edu.au. Is there a telephone number that they could ring?
The telephone number is 024 Sydney 86 27 18 67. I repeat, 86 27 18 67. And if there is no answer, if our researcher is out collecting data, for example, at the time, please leave a message with your details and we'll call people back.
What got you into this study?
First of all, it's a study that came from personal experience and personal interest. Perhaps I'm a rather unusual case. I became attracted to dogs well into my adulthood, in middle age, actually. I realized once the dogs were introduced to my life, I have rescued 2 dogs, and
yes,
they're still with me. They're very healthy. They caused a major change to my thinking, to my lifestyle, and all I can is that my life really benefited from the introduction of dogs.
So what was the major change that you're thinking of? You used to sit on the couch most of the time and then you started to run in the park?
Apart from that, I've always been very active, but just expanded my emotional horizons, frankly. I felt through the connection, through understanding them and connected with dogs, I felt that my emotional horizons were really, really expanded, because I think the relationship between a dog and a human has something extra that you cannot find in other humans, for example. The unconditional acceptance, it's a true friendship. It's a very deep and it's a very true friendship with no games involved, in most cases at least, in my case. I consider them perhaps my best friends, and I do tell that my best human friends as well. No one gets offended because they have dogs as well, so we understand each other perfectly well. It's a real joy living with them. So that happened only 7-8 years ago. Before then, I was just indifferent. I had a childhood experience with dog. I was really, really close to a dog who used to walk me to school every morning, and then we lost him, Leon. We lost him, and a few months later, we were told that he was seen lying dead. He was hit by a car in a town nearby. And I guess it was an emotional reflex. I went through a very, very hard time then. I was really, really upset for many months. And I think it was an emotional reflex that I became indifferent to dogs. From that point on, I was not interested for about 30 years. I didn't have any interest in dogs. How it all changed, again, it was a dog that forced me to love him.
Oh.
And, you know, they are very good at that. They are very, very good at that. It was back in 2010. I used to live in the Hungarian capital of Budapest.
Yes, uh-huh.
And my ex-partner had a dog called Rufus, a male Jack Russell Terrier, very intelligent, very hyperactive, very cunning in a way. For the first year of my relationship with my ex-partner, I did not allow Rufus to visit my apartment because of my previous attitude towards those.
Yes.
And after a year, it became a little bit that my relationship with my ex-partner became uncomfortable because she was complaining that Rufus is developing some sort of behavioral problems because he's left alone every night. So after serious negotiation, I allowed Rufus to visit my apartment and move in predefined areas. In the hallway, kitchen, that was his territory. He was not allowed to go anywhere. I had very, very different attitudes then. So what happened one day is that while Rufus was left in my apartment in this restricted area, we were away for the full day. We were late coming back, so we left him on his own for some 7-8 hours perhaps. And when we came back, Rufus was not himself. He was very different to his usual self. He was just like sitting in the corner, looking down at the floor.
Oh, he was lonely, so was he?
We assumed that he was ill. So we were ready. We started getting ready to take him to the vet. And then I went to the kitchen, and I saw that Rufus had caused an accident.
Oh, I see.
In the kitchen. That was a turning point. That moment, that was a turning point for me. I couldn't believe that a dog was just like ashamed of himself. And he was looking at me in a way as if he was telling me, you let me in your flat and I let you down.
Oh, really? So a dog can have those feelings, do you think?
I know that that's exactly what his eyes were telling me. And I knew that that very moment, without me being a dog lover, without me being a dog believer in any way, I heard it from his eyes, coming out from his eyes, this word almost. So that was the turning point. The turning point, from that point on, from that day on, Rufus was the king of my apartment. I practically adopted him. He was allowed not only in the hallway, in the kitchen, he was allowed everywhere. He was allowed even on the bed.
Uh-huh.
And that, I got in trouble with my ex-partner because she had worked really hard to train him not to sleep on her bed. And I was somehow spoiling all the training, the training that she was doing on him all these years.
Oh, dear. So I hope the dog didn't replace the partner. Not really.
It didn't happen immediately, but a few months later.
Have you got some ideas about how dogs can be more part of the human health system? Is that where this study's going? And when you find certain results, you think it'll point towards a certain direction in the health system?
Yeah, there are many potential applications. First of all, thinking about the well-being before health problems arise, before we have disease occur in any way. It is very, very important to understand that we live in a world that loneliness is a major social issue. It's a personal issue, it's a social issue, it's an economic issue, it causes depression. And in some situations, dogs can be very, very useful. Not only the world is very lonely, but it's aging as well.
Yes.
Life expectancy is going higher and higher by the decade. People spend more and more time living on their own into their old age. So that's one application. So making the cities and the environment dog-friendly is very, very important because it will motivate and will incentivize more people to adopt more dogs. And this, again, it has to be done in a careful way because it's not like starting an exercise program or modifying someone's diet. Taking a dog means that you take responsibility for a living creature, and if the owner has enough patience, in the long term, they can both benefit in a way.
Do you think that a cat can do the same thing? I mean, a cat is a bit easier to look after when you're older, isn't it?
Cats are different. I think the presence of pets and animals in human life can have benefits one way or another. Some people prefer cats, some people prefer dogs. It's a different pet and needs to be looked after in a different way. The potential benefits are different. Cats, for example, won't get anyone out of their couch. Dogs, on the other hand, they have a need to be walked. They
Yes.
have a need to sniff around. They have a need to be outdoors. And therefore, they motivate people. They're good for motivating people to be more physically active. Now, two birds at one stone, because another major health problem in Australia and in much of the Western world is physical inactivity. People do not move enough, and they fall ill for that. Diabetes rates are spiraling, obesity rates are spiraling, cardiovascular disease and cancer are the major killers, major health problems. And for all these issues, physical activity can play a huge role in preventing and improving people's quality of life.
Is there any type of dog, different breed, that you think is going to be more beneficial to the health system than another one?
Yeah, again, it depends on the reason why someone wants to adopt a dog. And I do not think dogs that are very demanding in terms of working and physical activity are appropriate for people who are willing and they have the time perhaps to dedicate and look after them. Dogs that do not need as much physical activity are more appropriate for people who are extremely time poor and they know that they won't be able to spend much time walking them. So there's no clear answer to that question, really.
Would you think this study being completed this year or next year?
Yeah, we hope to complete the study, to recruit the remaining 20 participants, close the study by the end of 2018. But because this is potentially a large pilot study, and the reason why we do pilot studies, main reason is to be able to learn lessons and do the next study better, we will start the main stage study most likely sometime in July. So this is not a one-off study. This is a research program, which means that one study will be leading to the next one. So the main study will be much larger. It will be approximately 400 participants. And yeah, it will start sometime this year. So essentially, it will be a continuous stream of research.
All right. Thank you very much for talking to us. I'll just give the people their phone number again. They're ringing from Sydney. It's 8627 1867, or the email address is cpc.dognode@sydney.edu.au. And you've been speaking to the Professor of Physical Activity, Lifestyle and Health from the University of Sydney's Charles Perkins Research Centre, Professor Manos Stamatakis. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Animates was created by Joe Van Kool. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks, research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Elaine Jontek. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.